The Gemara in Daf Vav quotes Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding the status of Bavel. That according to Rav, that Bavel is considered to be Keret Yisrael Legitin, and according to Shmuel, it's considered to be Kechutz Laretz. Regarding the question, the status of Bavel, seemingly there are three different possibilities. The one possibility is as follows. What happens if a get is going from one Medina to another, one province to another province within Bavel? Another possibility would be some of an extreme, maybe even Ba'osa Medina, if there really is a concern, so maybe even within a given locale, so therefore, Bavel is either like Eretz Yisrael, or perhaps it's like Chutz Laretz. And then the third possibility would be that consistent with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is telling us that, again, Hamevi get Medina Sayam, you're talking about a get that goes from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. What about from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe that's the question of the Gemara. So when we say that what is the status of Bavel, no doubt that there are indeed three possibilities. So Tosos immediately tells us the following, the Ramasko Bavel that we're talking about, Medina, the Medina. We're talking about the first possibility that I mentioned. We're not talking about within Bavel, nor are we speaking about a get that goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but very simply, Bavel was fairly large, there were different provinces, one area to another, one Medina to another Medina. What exactly is the assumption? Do we need a representation of Bafani Nichta, Bafani Nechtam, or indeed do we not? And that's what you find in the Rashba as well, Dir Maska Bavel, where the Rashba writes the same, that this machlokis in the Gemara is referring to Mi Medina Le Medina. The Rashba brings two rayas that in fact this is true. Number one is this, the Gemara, in assessing the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara suggests the following, that you know what, maybe the sheet of Shmuel is the following question, that Ein Eidim Mitzuyin Lekaimo, parallel to the concern of Rava. It's a question of the Kim Hashtar, the Kim Haget. And that's why Shmuel says it's considered to be L'chutz Laretz, in order to ensure that Eidim will be present in order to affirm the Kashrus of the particular get. So the Rashba writes the following, if that really is the concern, whether Eidim or Mitzuyim L'kaimo, then we're talking about a case of Medina L'Medina. So we're talking about a get that goes from one province to another. And the question then is how do you know here that the Eidim there were considered to be appropriate to be chosim on that particular get? Because if this was considered to be extreme, Bosa Medina, so ain't Eidim etzim nakaima within the same locale, you're going to have difficulty in order to validate the signatures of Eidim. How could that possibly be? And then the Rashba writes a second raya as well, that the Gemara explains Shmuel Shita later based on the following, that you know, B'nei HaYeshivos, B'girsayhu Teride, B'girsayhu Teride. Inspirational, no? Amusa. That they're so invested, they're so preoccupied with all of their learning. So what do you mean? Good, there are yeshivas that are there, but how are they going to know? How are they going to know? So the Rashba writes the following, that Tamze Eno Masvik, Lahachritz B'fanei Nichem B'fanei Nechtam, Ba'osa Medina, Ba'osa Medina. We're talking about the following, that the yeshiva b'achim are in the yeshiva. So you know what? They're not aware that, you know, one Medina to another, the coming and the going, the coming and the going. But the Rashba writes, really, literally, Ba'osa Medina, Ba'osa Medina. You know, they're not even aware of the immediate locale. Ad kadekach, you would say that bigger sayu 3 day in general, maybe there are a few like that, you know, like, okay, but in yeshiva holistically, they're not even, ask them what block is the yeshiva on, right? They're not sure. So that they're not sure of the block, they're not sure of the immediate area, right? Very often it doesn't, was told of a person who took that dear shubachino, and everything, you know, that the one question he got wrong was his address. that was challenging, and he didn't remember the exact number. That was pretty impressive. Sometimes what you don't remember is speaks volumes, no? But okay. So the Rashba writes, they're not going to know the immediate locale. So therefore, it must be that this deal like Tosas is Medina. because that would understand that Begirsayu Teride, and also that would understand that why the Gemara thinks, at least in Havamina, that you can align this with the Shita, with the Shita of Rava. Oh, but the Rashba points out, if you look in the Yerushalmi, it does not sound that way. That's the Yerushalmi here, Perakala Falachabez. Because the Yerushalmi uses the word Mishchuna Lishchuna. Mishchuna Lishchuna. So Shchuna Lishchuna does not sound like Medina Medina. That sounds like one enclave, one neighborhood, as opposed to another, one block and another block, as opposed to, right, assuming that we're talking about what Tosus writes, Medina Medina, no? And therefore the Rashba points out that it seems from the Yerushalmi that really not that way. If you look in the Yerushalmi, the classic Mefarshim of the Yerushalmi are unclear as to what is the meaning of the Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi says, Mishchuna Lishchuna, what exactly does that mean? So the Pnei Moshe immediately says, Lav Davka, Lav Davka. It doesn't really mean literally, Shchuna Lishchuna. It means that, Mimakom Lamakom. And not necessarily should we assume that Yerushalmi is an alternative Shita. But the Karban Eida writes differently. The Karban Eida writes a Chiddush. What is a Shchuna? Oh, the Karban Eida writes Gimel Batim. A cluster of a few homes, that's already considered to be your enclave. That's you and your neighbors, no? Meaning that even from one small group to another small group, ad kedei kach, why would that be true? Why would that be true? Apparently, based on the Gemara suggests later, the Gemara introduced a concept of naidei. You know, that some people live here permanently, but some communities are very transient, no? People are always coming and going, you know? Rent is reasonable. Buying a home is incredibly high. Now, so you know what? People are only there for a short stay. It's a stepping stone. The Gemara already introduced that sometimes, literally 9 days. If you're assuming that's the sheet of the Yerushalmi, as the Karban Eida writes, that even Mamish, Ba'osa Medina, it must be that Bavel, yes, it's true, Bavel was large, but you know what? People were constantly coming and going, and even one could envision that Mamish, Ba'osa Medina, but also Medina, you require that you have to be able to represent Bafanei Nichtav and Bafanei Nechtav, because there could really be difficulty validating a get, even if the person happened to have come from this area. But you know what? He was coming and going. He didn't live there with any sense of permanence. The third possibility, of course, is like our Mishnah, that we're talking about a get that's going from out of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. What about Bavel? Does Bavel have that status, or does it not? What's the difficulty the Rishonim already point out? But assuming that's true, the answer is Davav Mabez, because that is going to be a machlokas later between Rabbi Yosar and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosar writes that, you know what, that Hamevi get me Bavel Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to say Bafanei Nifta. We're not concerned about Lishman Bavel. We're not concerned about Mitzim Makaimo, because after all, that is common travel, and we're not concerned. And Rabbi Yosef disagreed. So therefore, so that's the Machlokas, Navav Mabez, and Lecha'ora, that's not the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Similarly, Rav and Shmuel argue about something different than what Rabbi Yosef, writes explicitly. So therefore, maybe there are other two possibilities. But if you look in the Meiri, as an example, the Meiri writes that no, perhaps there could indeed be the parallel. That when Rav and Shmuel raised this issue of what is the status of Bavel, yes, included in that issue of what is the status of Bavel is exactly that point of what happens if it goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara tells us the following, that, you know what, that maybe different periods of history, the Gemara says, it's nanami, what, are very, very relevant. Because, look, Rav came to Bavel, and asinu Bavel ke Eretz Yisrael. Rav came to Bavel, and as a result, asinu Bavel ke Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out that Rav came, and Rav went ahead and was kovei yeshiva v'sura, and therefore, certainly, there were Bikim B'lishma, there were Mitzvahim L'kaimo, and therefore, there was a part in time that it was absolutely clear that Asinu Bavel Ke'eretz Yisrael. So what's surprising, then, is the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara says that Masav Rav Yirmiya, how can that be? It's against our Mishnah. It's against our Mishnah, no? because our Mishnah discusses what exactly is the status of Akob. And certainly Bava was beyond, that was a greater distance to Eretz Yisrael than Akob. So how can you say that Bava would be considered to be Eretz Yisrael, where the Mishnah is bothered by Akob? Akol Itzafon, how can that be? So what's the answer to that? The Gemara says, Labar Mi Bava. You're right. When we say Akko is a line of demarcation, that's true generally. But there was something special about Bavel. Bavel, after all, Dikim, Bavel was a universe as a metropolitan area, Mitzuyim Lekaimo, traveling back and forth. So to say we're carving out Bavel is not so unusual. But the obvious difficulty, no, the Tosas Arash raises, the name of the Riva, what was the Kasha? Gemara says that when Rav went to Bavel, you know what? That, guess what? Asinu Bavel Keretz Yisrael. I would bring you a raya from the Mishnah, not a kasha the Mishnah, no? When Rav went, this happened, this changed, meaning, and before then, that was not true. Meaning, up until that point, we could not be so sure, and therefore, obviously, that Bavel is like Chutz Laretz. But you know what? Here, Michi Asa, Rav, LaBavel, then Asinu Bavel Keretz Yisrael. Now, so, how do you understand the shock of the Gemara in that sense? After all, Rashi points out that, Mishi Yigia, Rav, LaBavel, then you don't have to say Befani Niftam, Befani Nechtam. So, why is it against the Mishnah? Mishnah meaning prior to that? You obviously did. So, why would you think that that's a clash? And why do you have to answer Bavel was, you know, kind of a bubble? No, Labarmi Bavel. Why indeed would that be the case? Oh, so the Tosfos Rashi writes that there must be more to the history as well. It's simply Tosfos Rashi in the name of the Riva. It must be the following, that, you know, when Rav came and all of a sudden, yes, established, the yeshiva and surim, that was not like Yesh Miayin. That was a throwback, no, to the earlier status. The earlier status above. And that's what the Tosfos Rashi writes. Just very simply, the simple Pirush HaMilim of the Gemara. That in the time of Yechoniah, there were certainly, the years prior to Churban Bayis Rishon, there was a significant population in Bavel, already at that time, Kodem Churban HaBayis, and that was a fact. However, when Reb Chiya, later, when Reb Chiya Ubanov went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, Bavel no longer retained that status. And that was regained when Rav went to Bavel. There was initial step one that our Gemara does not spell out. There was step one that Bavel was a metropolitan area. And then there was step two, when Rav Chiya, his children, his followers, went to Eretz Yisrael, where it waned. And then Rav came and reinstituted Bavel as being. Oh, that's what the Tosfos Rashi just fills in. In other words, the Zman HaMishnah was step one. The Zman HaMishnah was step one. And therefore, one should be equal to three. That was the kasha of the Gemara. You're right, there was an interim period sandwiched in between where, you know what, that Bava was not what it once was. Okay, but that was not true in the time of the Mishnah. In the time of the Mishnah, Bava was also thriving. And then again, it experienced that resurgence of people later in the time of Rav. Now I can raise a kasha from a Mishnah to Rav, because what Rav was able to accomplish in step three was a fallback to the reality of step one, of Bizman HaMishnah. But if Bizman HaMishnah, we still say that HaMevi get me Bavel Eretz Yisrael requires B'fai Nechta B'fai Nechta, so that should even be true in the time of Rav as well. That was the basis of the Kasha of the Gemara. And the answer is that no, that really, Enochinami, even in the time of the Mishnah, Labar Mi Bavel, there was a carve out. There was a bubble around Bavel. And therefore, Enochinami, that what Rav did, was exactly the same. Well, if you look in the Ran, here the Ran, Diramaschul Michi, the Ran is bothered by this kasha as well, that how can the Gemara think of raising a kasha against Rav from our Mishnah? When our Gemara says that when Rav came, things changed. That's a raya, that's not a kasha whatsoever. Oh, so the Ran writes the following, that realize that in our Mishnah, there is the Machlokas Tanaim regarding Akko. According to the Chachamim, Akko is considered to be Ketzelfon, and therefore the Chutz Laretz. And according to Rav Meir, Akko is considered to be Keretz Yisrael. Why was that? Why exactly was that true? Why would you say that Akko is considered to be like Chutz Laretz? So that's the Chiddush that the Ran points out. In Akko, what you think, Ena Bekiyam Lishma? Really, in Akko, that they were unaware of this? Maybe in some enclaves in Chutz Laretz, they were unaware. In Akko, they were unaware of Lishma when it comes to a gift. And when it comes to Akko, you really assume that the Ein Mitsuyin Lakaimo, Ein Mitsuyin Lakaimo, that was not true. There, Shiaros Mitsuyos, it was common to go from Akko to the central area of Eretz Yisrael. That was common. So why in the world would the Chachamim say that Akum is considered to be Ketzafon? It doesn't have any concern of Lishma. It doesn't have any concern of Mitsuyin, Lekaimo. So why in the world would the Chachamim disagree? Of course Rav Meir is right, that Akum is considered to be like Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to tell me Akum didn't have any of these things, so how could Rav Meir say Akum is Eretz Yisrael? If Rav Meir says Akum is like Eretz Yisrael, that means we don't have a concern of Lishma. We don't have a concern. They're arguing about whether what? Whether Sheros Mitzios, Sheros Zayim Mitzios. Rav Meir tells you that was clear. Mecham disagree. It was not true. People didn't travel. You know what the answer is? The Ran writes. Low plug. The answer is a low plug. Meaning that, of course, Rav Meir is right. That technically speaking, within Akko, there was no concern per se. But you know what? The Chachamim had to draw a line. And when they draw a line, they say you're in, you're out. That out is a low plug. That out was a low plug. That's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah, of Akon Ketzafon, that you know what? Because of these considerations, you have to create some line of demarcation. And that line of demarcation is going to serve as a low plug. So if that really is true, so now how can you say that, oh, Babel is different? Babel is different. You know, if you're telling me case by case by case, you know, every enclave you're going to view separately, are they Bikin Lishma, and are Sheris Mitzuyim, and are Eidim Mitzuyim Lakam? Okay, so one could argue, here, not here. It's not a stira. Once you're going to acknowledge that Akom should have been treated like Eretz Yisrael, but it was not because it was distant, and therefore, once you're distant, it's a low plug, because otherwise, Nasata the Rech L'Shurim, every community will say, yes, we know, and therefore there are. So once that's true, why shouldn't that also have been the case later in history? Once you see that the Gzer was instituted as a Takana, as a low plug, so in such a case, why wouldn't that be relevant, even in the case of Rav? So good, in the case of Rav, you know what? There would be Kim Lishma, and Mitzuyin Lakaimo, yeah, but how is that different from Akko? And therefore, why would one argue that therefore there's no concern in Bavel? That was the kasha of the Gemara. Of course, the Gemara recognized that we're dealing with different periods in history, but what was true then in terms of how you formulate the Gzeira should have been true even now. Oh, and that's what the Gemara writes, the Chiddush of Labarmi Bavel. That Enochinami, that maybe that there was a bubble around Bavel even in earlier times, and therefore it is not at all a stira to assume that in the time of Rav we can carve out Bavel because of the unique nature of Bavel in and of itself. Okay. So as he mentioned earlier, based on the Yerushalmi, the Gemara quotes, right, the Shita of Rava, that even Ba'oso Medina, still, you have to represent B'fanei Nichta, B'fanei Nechta. And the Gemara is bothered that how can Rava say this? Ba'oso Amakom. How can Rava say this Ba'oso Amakom? After all, Rava Lishita said, no, Rav is concerned about b'fi she'ein edim mitzuyim l'kaimo, and ba'oso medina, that is not a concern at all. So why would Rav tell us that, you know what, that even within a strict locale, you have to represent b'fani nichta? When Rav says the whole concern is whether indeed they're edim mitzuyim l'kaimo. Oh, so the Gemara answers as follows, that shiny b'nei mechuza. Oh, you know what? The b'nei mechuza were different. And the Masoros HaShas points out for you that, you know what? That was Makomo Sharava. That was where Rava was. There, it was completely different because Dinade. There were people constantly traveling can be helpful in a certain way of Mitzuyim Makaimo. But as mentioned before, sometimes it can flip differently, that if it's constantly Naide, and no one is setting up a situation of permanence, everyone is here just in a temporary condition. So in such a case, that could be a problem of Mitzuyim L'kaimo, even Bo Samakom. And therefore, even though Rav was only concerned about the Kiyum Ashtar, but nonetheless, you always have to be concerned, at least in Mechuzah, regarding Naide, people constantly traveling back and forth. Ooh, Sotosus, right. Such a chiddush, Damascus shiny, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Mikan Posek Rabbeinu Tam Dahashta Bezman Hazeh. You know what? For us, where people are constantly traveling, certainly it's 9 days. So therefore, Sarach Lomar Bechol Makom Befanei Nichta. Wow. And even though that the whole concern, according to Rava, is in Mitzvim Lekaimo, and typically speaking, right, that would not apply to Osa Medina. Maybe Lishma, yes. But what do you mean that, according to Rava, the reason is Ein Edim Utsuim Lekayim Avalom Yishum Lishma? But nonetheless, because Naide, you know, we live in a smaller world than they used to live in. Now, in our time, everybody's traveling. There was unheard of to go from place to place. Now it's exceptional. Here it's considered to be absolute commonplace. Wow, so such a chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, the Bizman Hazeh, B'chol Makomos Naide, and what was true in Rava's time regarding Mechuz is true everywhere for us, and therefore you have to make sure that indeed there is that representation. Well, pretty stunning Kiddush. That's the Kiddush then of Rava Shita, nothing to do with the concern of Lishma, but rather Mitzuyim Lakam. When the Rambam quotes this, the Rambam also, but the Rambam uses terminology that is a little bit unclear. The Rambam writes the following, Chizgerish, in Perek Zayin Halachay. The Rambam writes this, that you have to realize that even within smaller locales now, you have to be concerned, Boshem Shah, because of Rabbi Tam's consideration of Naide. And therefore, the Rambam writes the following, Shliach Shehevi Get, Mi Makom Lamakom B'chutz Laretz. So Hareza Omer B'fan Nechta B'fan Nechta. So therefore, he has to say in the presence of Shnayim, the funny nichta, the funny nechta. Oh, so the Ram writes for us. Oh, we have to say the funny nichta, the funny nechta. The question is when exactly is that true? So the phrase the Rambam uses, which is a little bit unclear, is mimakom lamakom, mimakom lamakom. What is mimakom lamakom? What exactly does that mean? From place to place, from place to place. So if you look there in the Rambam, Hagos Maimonos and Os Aleph. There, he writes, you know what I think makom l'makom means? Mi medina l'medina. Medina l'medina. Oh, so that means medina l'medina. You're going one province to another. Okay, one that's against Rabbi Natan, no? Rabbi Natan is using the Surah of Naide to assume that even ba'osa medina, like Rava described of Mechuzza, you have to be concerned, and you have to stay. The Rambam writes, you have to be concerned. Be makom l'makom, makom l'makom. So if makom l'makom is another word for medina l'medina, okay, that's not like Rabbi Natan whatsoever. That's what Hagos Maimonos suggests. If you look, however, in the Magid Mishnah writes differently. That he thinks makom l'makom does not mean, the Rambam does not write medina l'medina. There, of course, the Rambam is writing makom l'makom ba'osa medina. Makom means ba'osa medina. And yet, you have to assume that there's a concern. So the Shita, the Rambam, is not mi medina le medina, but rather Mimakom mamakom ba'osa medina. Why should that be? What do you see in the Gemara that mimakom mamakom osa medina requires b'fanechtam b'fanechtam? So apparently the Rambam is basing it on mechuzza, denying. That, you know what, that sometimes you have people constantly traveling from here to there, and therefore that requires even more, not just simply medin ledina, but even mimakom lamakom, mamakom lamakom. So this is what the Beis Shmuel points out. The Beis Shmuel, Ebenezer, Kuf Mem Beis, Nesif Katnala, points out the following, that this is Kain Rabbeinu Tam, but not Mamish Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is very limited. Rabbeinu Tam assumes that b'chol makom, you require b'fanei nechtam, because you know what? You're not even sure who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is. You have to be so concerned. When the Rambam broadens, he broadens based on Rava's assessment of mechuzza, but the Rambam does broaden it to mimakom lamakom, makom lamakom. That doesn't sound exactly as the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, the Beis Shmuel writes the following. He thinks that these are variant shitas. That if it's yes, medin ledina, I understand, but fanechta b'fanechtam. Rabbeinu Tam is mamish even like ba'osa ha'ir, right? Even within a limited locality, you require that that's true. And the Rambam assumed that no, shani mechuzah meant there were different like districts within, and from district to district, that ne'ochinami is considered to me that which is necessary. So the Beis Shmuel points out the Chiddush, that the Shita of the Rambam is somewhat of a intermediate position, and therefore you don't require medin l'medina, but a recognition that if you have certain places where people are traveling regularly, so therefore there is a greater need to make that representation of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. The Gemara at the very bottom, right, of this daf and daf of Melalev, tells us the following, that look, everyone agrees, medina de Gemara, know that there's certain places that is not required at all, right? The Gemara says the following, that Rav Kahana, Aisegita, and Rav said the following, that you know what, that lo tzricha was not necessary. Not the last words on the daf. You don't have to go ahead and to state b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. However, Rav did say the following great Kiddush, that be of those sahanis. But you know what? But if you do say it, that's consequential. It's not necessary. We're not going to say that, you know, without it, the get cannot be used. But you know what? If even you will make this representation, so therefore, ahanis. Ahanis in what sense? Ahanis in a preemptive way. In a preemptive way. The Gemara says, "Di asi ba'al ma'arer lo mishkachinan ben." That you know what? If subsequently, all of a sudden, right, the ba'al will come, guess what? No. The get will stand. Wow. So that's a great chiddush of Rav. Rav is telling us that you should recognize that even though we'll go through the technical issues of when this representation is needed, but even when it's not necessary, it's not irrelevant. It's a great significance. If the Ba'al will go ahead and question, lo mashkachinan be. Well, that's a very great chiddush. After all, you know, we did the sugya, of course, in Daf Gimel. And that is that Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan. And on the basis of the Kiyum Shtaros, this Shliach is Neman to say, B'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. How is that possible? Because what do you mean? Mikra din daraisa, Eidim ha'chasim al-ashtar, ar kibishinech kredusam bebezdin dami. And therefore, midaraisa, the shtar is min al-atzma, that the shtar is kasher. Right, the Tosos and Abdallah and Aleph. No? The shtar speaks volumes. Hakol behekshar naseh. And therefore, kiyum hashtar is not necessary at all. And therefore, sometimes we're going to allow the authorization to be done al yedei eid echad. When we learned the sugya, we pointed out the shita of Rabbi Avigdor HaKohen. No? That was quoted in the Or Zeruah. In Chelek Aleph, in Simen Tav, Shin Mem Hei. Whereas the Ror writes the following shita, Bameh Dvarim Amurim. When do we assume that, you know what, that the shtar speaks for itself, it's K'mishenekar, Yusam Abezdin Dami, and the need for Kiyum Shtaros now is only a Din Drabanan, and since it's only a Din Drabanan, Mishamiguna Kilber Rabanan, Tuala Yivin, Enet Echad, all of that is only true Min Hasam. All of that is simply true, you know, in a vacuum, where that's it. You have a shtar. However, what happens if the Baal HaShtar comes forward and is Ma'arer and tells you this is a forgery, this is Mezuyev. If the Baal HaShtar will come forward and say, you know what, then Rabbi Avigdor writes the following, now you're back to scratch. Now you require Kim Shtaros Midaraisa. Typically speaking, we'll assume that yes, that the Shtar speaks for itself, that there's no Reisa. But if the Baal HaShtar will come forward and question, that's not true. Sometimes Kim Shtaros is indeed a Din Daraisa. Min Hastam, we assume it's only considered to be a Din Darabana. So that's what the Pnei Yehoshua raises here in our Sugya. That what do you mean? Our Gemara says the following. You know, there are times where you don't even have to say Befani Nifta Befani Netam. But you know what? That doesn't mean that nothing's accomplished by that representation. Because if you say it, I'avda sahanis, it's going to be incredibly impactful. Because if the Baal is going to come, we're going to dismiss him. What do you mean? If the Baal is going to then come and argue that the shtar is considered to be a shtar mezuyev, you need kiyum shtaros on a level of darais, so that should not be true. So how can our Gemara say that when you don't require the kiyum haget midrabanan, it pays to do it because it'll be helpful if Baal v'irer, we mean it, Baal v'irer, in such a case, then the representation should not even be sufficient. And so how does our Gemara tell us that, you know what, that even when it's not necessary, but it's very, very advantageous in order to go in to do so? After all, that you have a shliach which is an echad, in the face of the Baal HaShtar who says that this is considered to be a shtar mezuyev. Ooh, so Pnei Yehoshua quotes. He thinks the answer is based on a comment of the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel is found in Kuf Mem Beis and Sivkot and Beis of Eben Ezer, that when is this true, this possibility, ooh, this Urzarua, that if the Baal will go ahead and come miyad, and be ma'arer, when is that true? That's only true miyad, and it's not true lachar zman. It's not true lachar zman. You know what? We have a mamar bezdin, and all of a sudden a shtar comes forward to bezdin, and the Baal din, the Baal is there, and he says that this shtar is a shtar mezuyev. In such a case, I'm not going to argue then that the kiyum hashtar is only a din drabanan, and I would allow an eid echad to be neman. But what happens in the following chiddush if the shtar is presented, and yes, that bezin is mikayim the shtar, bezin is mikayim the shtar based on the shliach who says b'fanei nichta b'fanei netam, who in such a case, that's the chiddush that the Beis Shmuel suggests, then we would not say, subsequently if the Baal comes, that undoes, that now all of a sudden we have to start again from scratch. All of this is true as part of the deal, that if the Baal comes forward and is ma'arir, so you know, we're not going to allow a single shliach to say, but after indeed that was true, that Beis Din accepted that aid, so the Baal HaShtar is no longer Neman. Oh, Bamed Vamamurim, one could have suggested the following. When Beis Din, as part of the process of Beis Din, insists on being the Kayim the Shtar, so the necessity of the Kiyum HaShtar Beis Din creates that Umdana. Now our Gemara tells us a very great Hiddish, that even if this was not necessary, even if Beis Din would not go ahead and insist on the Kiyum HaShtar, because after all, we're dealing with the circumstance where Bikim Lishma and Mitsuyim Lakaimo, but if the Shliach on his own accord makes that representation of Bafani Nichta Bafani Neftam, it wasn't necessary. Even when it wasn't necessary, we still view it as though Kibel Habezdin Eduso. Oh, and then the Baal would no longer be Neman if he subsequently comes, and indeed he is Ma'aref. After all, when the Gemara questioned that, how is it that this aid is Neman? The Gemara mentions the following, because the Shliach, what do you mean, that Medag Dayik, the Shliach is meticulous, and V'lo Asi L'Ruy Nafshei, he's not going to go ahead and make a representation. All of a sudden, he's going to be blown out of the water. No, he's going to represent this, and we have this Din Torah, and all of a sudden, Edom come forward and say that he was absolutely lying. And that creates, that creates, you know, to the language of the Muki Yosef and Anan Sahadi, as we discussed before. It's if Bezdin is made, Bezdin is made. In which case, when Bezdin accepts the Ein Echad, it's comparable to those sukkis nivamos, peizayin, peiches of Eidus Isha. That sometimes if an Eid will come forward and say, Meis Vailich, that Eidus is so compelling because of Anan Sahade, Mitoch Chomer Shechamarta Besofa, Isha Daika Uminsava, all the concerns that we will allow and accept that as though it's considered to be absolute Eidus. And therefore, the Chiddush, that's true even in this case as well. So if the Baal will come and preempt to be Ma'arer, we're not going to go ahead and allow just the Shliach to say, B'fanei Nichta, B'fanei Nechta. Once that representation is made and accepted in Bezdin, it creates the Anan Sahadei, and therefore that will be helpful, even in cases where we do not insist on B'fanei Nichta, because that was a circumstance where we know it was B'kiyum Lishma, and there's no concern, for example, of Osa Medina, of Eidim Mitzuyim, Lakaima, an important fish. Okay, now, Bevav Mabez. The Gemara tells us the following. Right? What happens if you have that get that comes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? What exactly do we assume? Is it necessary to go ahead and to make that representation of a funny nichtav and a funny nichtav? Oh, so we pointed out the Machlokes, and Rabbi Avyasar said that no, there's no need to do so. That's like a get within Eretz Yisrael. Coming from Bavel to Chutz Laretz, there's no need to make that representation. Oh, so the Gemara tells us the following, that man lemaman, the Rabbi Avyasar basamchul. How can we so comfortably rely on this position of Rabbi Yosef? Well, why would you question? Oh, because we know that Rabbi Yosef did something that raised eyebrows, no? That was surprising. Rabbi Yosef was very upset about Bnei Adam Habayim Bavel Eretz Yisrael, no? All of a sudden you had people, they were going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, as you mentioned again, things were shifting, and they were leaving their homes, they were leaving their families, and they were going to Eretz Yisrael, leaving them behind. And Rabbi Yosef felt that was not good for Shalom Bayis, that was not good for Gidol Banim, that was not good for Puravu, right? That's not a sustainable position of Bnei Adam Abayim Bavel Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in very, very sharp terms, now Rabbi Yosef said the following, that Kimo Batzman, through their actions, they're fulfilling that which you have. Terrible, the Pasuk in Yoel. Terrible. Now you're leaving the wife behind, you're leaving the family behind, and you're going. That will be absolutely calamitous. And that's what you find in the Pasuk. That's tragic. Now, so what was so disturbing about this? Okay, maybe the argument had credence, it had legitimacy. Okay, something to think about. But for Kasav Le Below Sirtut. You know, he included in this message, this pasuk from Yoel Perek Dalid. And you know what? The lines were not scored. There was no Sirtut. And you're not allowed to write a pasuk in that way. If the pasuk is written that way, you know, maybe that's a reyesa, that's an indicator that, you know, years ago, I was looking in my shul for a set of Nevi'im, you know, telling the Haftorahs from a cloth. So they're very hard to get, very hard to get. But someone had called me, they were able to get from Europe, from before the war, different sets, that's Naveen. So they were able to get two sets. It was a question of which ones to choose. So one set was written very, very beautifully, like it was, you know, and it was like only $20,000. To get a set of Naveen today is $100,000. It's more than a Sefer Torah to write Naveen. So I'm looking through, I get to the end of it. The end of every Sefer is like center justified, you know? That's really surprising. Now, like, what kind of sofer is going to center? You know, you're writing an invitation, or you're writing like a little calligraphy, you know? The last line, you're probably going to center justify, you know? Looks nice. You know, you're going to have margins on this side, margins on that. But you can't write sound that way, center justified, no? So we didn't take that set of Naveen, we took the other set of Naveen. Some of the ksav was not as nice, but it was written as you kind of expected, no? But it was like popped when you see that type of thing, no? You know what I mean, no? Like surprising, no? So it wasn't, the letters weren't aligned the way it should, like in one line, the very end of the Sefer. You know, so like, what else didn't the sofer know? No, in terms of how to writing and so on. Like, it's interesting. Now, so Rabbi Yossi went ahead and he sent this message, and there was no sirtut. There was no sirtut. So that was so surprising. Why was it so surprising? Because look, when you're writing, right, psuke haTorah or psuke Tanakh, you have to score the lines. And when exactly is that true? Oh, Svar Gemara. Rabbi Yisrael writes the following. You know what? Two words you can write without sirtu. But shalosh ein kosvin. Oh, and the Braisa tells us differently that no, shalosh kosvin and va'arbein kosvin. No, three you can do. But beyond that, sirtu is considered to be that which is necessary. Wow. And therefore, they were so surprised. And now, he's weighing in on this very, very heavy issue. Maybe we should kind of, you know, be cautious, be concerned. You know, like, you know, well. So this is again the lengthy tosus. Now that when exactly is sirtut required? Right here, it's a chiddush. Now we're not dealing with, you know, kisvei hakodesh. We're not dealing with a sefer. We're not dealing with a sefer Torah. We're not dealing with tefillin mezuzah. We're dealing with a message, an igeres, right? Of course, an igeres which includes, right, a pasuk of Torah, a pasuk of Tanakh, and I guess sirtut is necessary. Sirtut is clearly necessary, even though that this has nothing at all to do with Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh. Probably I would have thought that, you know, these details, you know, the klaf and the ibud and the sirtut are all details within Kedushas Sefer Torah, Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, Kedushas HaTfilin, Mezuzah. Here apparently you see that's not true. The Heter Ksiv is only that which is our Yedei Sirtut. Just to jump ahead of ourselves, right? Not always a good thing to do, no, but if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam writes that, you know what, that you can't write Kisvei HaKodesh without Sirtut. And the Rambam throws in a line, Afilu Kosvan Al Haniyar, right? The Rambam says, even if you're writing on a piece of paper, you know what the Chiddush the Rambam is, even if you're writing on a piece of paper? It means that this is not a candidate for Kisvei HaKodesh. You can't have a Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh on a Niyar. But it has nothing to do with the Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh. It's the Ksivas HaPasuk requires a certain sense, for whatever reason, we'll have to see why, a certain sense of Hekshur Ksiva, a certain sense of reverence, a certain sense of beauty, of splendor. And that means that you have to score the line, maybe very simply, you have to score the line to be able to write it in the most reverential way. But that's not related to. It's halacha in ksiva, lav dafka halacha when it comes to kedushas kisvei hakodesh. You know, for example, I'll tell you the tour, we'll have to discuss this, the tour in Yerodea. And Reish Anolf writes that sirtut does not have to be lishma. Wow. Sirtut does not have to be lishma. The ksiva has to be lishma. The ibur has to be lishma. But the sirtut is not necessarily what endows it with the chalos of kedushas kisvei hakodesh. Then I would argue that it has to be lishma. Oh, v'haraya. That even an igeris, goes ahead and requires. Well, so that's what that Rambam writes. That Rambam Menachos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Tes Zayin. You're allowed to write, the Rambam writes, Umutu Lichto Shalosh Tevos Velo Sirtut. You can write three words without Sirtut, but more than that, of course, requires Sirtut, even if you're talking about Kosav Al Hanina. So there is the Kesef Mishnah is bothered. What about the Rambam in Hilchus Tum? Teragalef Halachi Yidnes. There the Rambam writes the following. Halacha Moshe Misinai. Right, there's a lot to speak about as well. When you go through the Tosas, if you haven't yet, and you go through the different sugyas, what is the source of Sirtum? Is this based on Drashos, Psukim? Is it based purely on Hilchusah? The Rambam writes, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, she'ein kosvin sefer Torah, v'lo mezuzah, ela b'sirtut. A sefer Torah requires sirtut. A mezuzah requires sirtut. That's Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. However, aval tefillin, ein on tzrichin sirtut. The tefillin does not require sirtut. Why should you say tefillin is different? Why exactly is that true? Why is tefillin so different? The Rambam writes, I have to see where this comes from. Lefi shehein mechufin. Because the parshas of tefillin are covered. They're concealed. You know, the purpose of the sirtut, I guess, is to ensure a certain quality of the ksav. Maybe that, you know what, that it's written so beautifully, it is easily read. It's more legible. Oh, beautiful. You know what? The Sefer Torah now, the letters pop. And the tefillin. What do you mean? They're mechufin. The whole thing is covered. You know, we'll see. Rabbi Natan discusses different aspects of Hebrew mitzvah when it comes to the parshas of tefillin. Because when was the last time you saw the parshas of your tefillin? No, so is there a Hebrew mitzvah that is not something, you know, the language of the Gemara, Yimadav Ayin, Laharos Chazuso? No? You know what Hidra Mitzvah is? Maybe you should see its beauty. See that you don't see these parashios. The Rambam here writes that Tefillin Enon Tzrichin Sirtut Lefi Shein Mechufi. So the Kesef Mishnah raises, but you know what? This kash is too good to be true. Like, there has to be something's missing, no? The Kesef Mishnah writes, Ar Gemara Gittin Daf Avim Beis. You can't even write an Igeris without Sirtut. You can't even write an Igeris without... If you're going to tell me that Sirtut is halacha in Kisvei HaKodesh, so maybe you can tell me that Sefer Torah, yes, Mezuzah, yes, and maybe you'll tell me Tefillin's an exception. But if you're going to tell me that you're never allowed to write a series of words without Sirtut, and that's true even if you're writing on a piece of paper, so, Tefillin, no. Oh, it doesn't have the Kedusha of Sefer Torah. Yeah, but it's different than an Igeris. Is it so different from an Igeris? So how is that possible? So the Kesef Mishnah writes something that just sounds so unusual. Like, Eino Chinami, that's true. Mitam Kedushas Tefillin, Eino Tzorech L'Sartin. If you were just to look at the Dine Tefillin, Tefillin doesn't require Sirtut. And if you, for whatever reason, like you're ready for whatever reason, right? Ratza Shalom Lichtav Yosem Yishalosh Tevos B'chol Shita. And if you want to write your parshas at Tefillin that way, right? No more than three words per line, right? Your parshas the Tefillin are going to be this long, narrow, like a kameya, no? Like a long, narrow strip. right? And you're going to be writing it not this way, but that way, right? Three words per line. Guess what? You can get away without doing sirtu. But if you're going to write tefillin the way all of our tefillin are written, of course you need sirtu. You need sirtu because of gittin davav. You need sirtu because ksiva requires sirtu. See, even if you don't need a petoras tefillin, you need a petoras ksiva. Oh, but if our Gemara says, you know what, there are ways that you can get around the sirtu of ksiva, oh, that could apply. It's unusual, no? The Kesa Mishnah writes, in l'uratza shlolich tov yosem yishalosh tevos, right, b'chol shita rashai, you could go do that. You can't do that in the Sefer Torah. If you're going to write a Sefer Torah with three words per line, I'm going to tell you you need sirtu because Sefer Torah demands sirtu. But in tefillin, oh, that would be okay. Because otherwise, how can a tefillin be gara migera shalom? How can tefillin be worse than like our Gemara? You're just sending a letter. You're sending a message. How indeed could that be true? That's not at all simple, no? Sounds difficult as well. That really is the Hilchasa. Sefer Torah, yes, and not tefillin, but medvar murim, when you're writing tefillin in that very unusual way. And if you're going to tell me, you know what, okay, so maybe tefillin was written sometimes in a very unusual way. I would just couple this with, you know, you'll go through the different tosos, and no, but they refer you to many different gemaras, no? So one Gemara is the Sugya Menachos Daf Lamed Beis. No, that's our Tosus. The Gemara says the following. No, you have a Sefer Torah Shabala, or you have Tefillin Shabalu. You have a Sefer Torah. You have Tefillin. It's all worn out. I can't use this any longer as a Sefer Torah. I can't use any more of Tefillin. Good, but Ein Osim Mezuzah. You can't take the Ksav of Tefillin and use it for Mezuzah. Because after all, the Malin v'Kodesh ve'Eim Oridin, and Tefillin has a higher level of Kedusha than Mezuzah. So you cannot take the Parsha of Tefillin and use it for the purpose of Mezuzah. Why? Because Malin v'Kodesh Oridin. So the Gemara asks the Kasha. That's the only problem. Malin v'Kodesh Oridin. And Ham Oridin Osin. If it wouldn't be for that halacha, You'd be allowed to do that. The Gemara says, "Vaha b'yasir tut." There's a requirement of mezuzah that tefillin doesn't have. There's a requirement of mezuzah tefillin doesn't have. Mezuzah requires sirtut, and tefillin does not require sirtut. No. And that is a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So you know what the Gemara answers? Oh, you're right. Tanai. That day in Tanayim that says the only problem with taking the parshios to the tefillin or taking the parshios to the Sefer Torah and using it for is a sirtut problem? Is a Malin B'Kodesh on a sirtut problem? Tanayi. It must be that Tana was assuming that even mezuzah doesn't require sirtut. Wow. So that also, in light of the Kesemisha, Of course, tefillin doesn't require sirtut. If you know what, if the tefillin was written in such an unusual way, no? Such an unusual way. You wrote tefillin, and you know what? There was no line longer than three words. That doesn't require sirtut. But with any typical parsha of tefillin, you absolutely demand sirtut. Gittin davav, no? So that's, of course, why you have to come on to Manan v'kodesh v'ino reading. Because tefillin in 99.9999% have sirtut. So the Gemara is going to say it's a sirtut problem. It's not a sirtut problem. But because you could have written tefillin in such an unusual way, it sounds like something incredible. That tefillin doesn't require sirtut, and the minhag was therefore not to do sirtut. As Tosus writes, not to do. Now you have a real problem. How can you flip that into mezuzah? Yeah, but how can tefillin not require sirtut? What happened to our Gemara? See here, take a look at the various Tosfosim. Take a look at the Ran, the Rama Komos. Now we'll have to pick up at this point, the Lumbus. When yes, when no, what are the different factors driving the halacha of sirtut in Kisvei HaKodesh and in Stam Ksiva?